I want to welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. The Green Side is a radio show with everything you'd want to know about the short game or in and around 100 yards, with a heavy emphasis on putters and putting. It's a collaboration between the Hacker's Paradise and PutterZone.com, and each and every month, Sean from PutterZone.com comes and joins us for this wonderful 30-minute segment that we like to do, as described above. Sean, how are you this month?
I'm doing great. You know, I was thinking, just listening to you, how it seems like at the end of every show, it's like, well, what are we going to talk about next time? And it's just a matter of, wait 30 days.
Yeah, I mean, there's
and
so
suddenly
much.
A bunch of stuff to talk about yet again.
And this show, we have a ton of information to talk about. And, you know, each month we get on the phone before we start this up. And, you know, we talk about all the latest things that are coming out. It seems like those are the topics. One of the topics that I really wanted to address this time is your book, and we won't spend too much time on it, but just give everybody a hint. At the end of the show, we're going to have a little bit of a contest. You're going to give away a copy, but I've given it to a couple of people who have absolutely just loved it, and I want to thank you for putting it together.
Well, back at you and to the whole Hacker's Paradise community for really rallying around this project and providing feedback and really, you know, this was sort of a solitary pursuit writing the book. So to have a community such as yours right out of the gates to provide feedback and encouragement was just phenomenal. I mean, it put wind in the sails of the book right from the outset.
Well, we will be giving one of those away to a lucky listener. Stay tuned to the end of the show for that. Speaking of our forum, one of the topics that's been really, really hot recently is a new putter coming out from TaylorMade Golf, and that is the Spider Ghosted, I'll call it. Everybody seems to be talking about it. I know the Spider was a huge success for them originally, and then they did the Itsy Bitsy, and that Bolero, I think it was, the next one, which did not go so well, and then the Vecino, which is another very popular version, and now they have it in Ghost, as I'll call it. What are your thoughts on it when you first saw it?
I kind of had to do a double take when I very first heard about it. I was like, whoa, I thought, forgive the pun, but I thought that the Spider line had given up the ghost, literally. We hadn't seen anything new for at least a year from that line. And then in the interim, you had the Ghost line achieving phenomenal success and visibility. And so I thought, well, they've just moved on. And then suddenly it was the Reese's Peanut Butter moment where you had the Spider and the Ghost in one.
You know, this is one of those times when I think the consumers don't realize they have as large a voice as they had. You know, I look at things a little bit outside the box sometimes, and TaylorMade's goal, obviously, was to get every one of their tour pros using something white, as in the putter or the drivers or everything else, because it adds such visibility.
Sure.
Whether or not it works, that's something, you know, outside of this debate. But, you know, obviously when you see something on TV and it's white, you obviously assume it's TaylorMade. And I know there's some other companies that put it out, but for the putters, we'll just assume that's the case. Jason Day had been using it, and the other guys have used the Spider putter with some incredible success, and they had to make sure that the white was on there and that it was working. And, you know, Day was using that, and the consumers just ate it up. The ones who liked the Spider were just, when are we going to get the white version? And I really do think that the consumers had a heavy influence on this putter coming out. And based on the feedback we're getting on our forum, it's people are really enjoying the Spider with the new insert face.
Exactly. I'm getting a ton of inquiries and traffic related to this putter as well. I just think that there is a lot of interest in the Ghost line. And then you combine that with something that now is sort of a what you would call an heirloom model in today's equipment world. It's a 3-year-old Spider, basically, that's been ghosted. So it's kind of like an old favorite coming back in a new finish, and you've got a winning combination, I think.
Yeah, and you know, you add to that that it has the different insert and what they call the Pure Roll technology compared to the previous inserts that they were very popular for, and I think people do enjoy the Pure Roll technology a little better. I also think, from a marketing standpoint, it has a far better name than four letters that most people didn't understand what it stood for.
And it looks cooler, too.
It does. So, you know, they had this hit stores really, I think, ahead of what most people were expecting. And part of that, again, due to the demand that was created when Jason Day was playing so well at the Masters and everything else. And he's had a phenomenal year using it. So I think this is a classic example of consumers not sure they have a voice, but in this case really did. And we're going to be doing some fun things with this one on THP next week, including giving a couple away for people to test out and review on the site.
TaylorMade is so good at marketing that every time they put a new putter out, someone wins with it.
That's
when the original Spider came out 3 years ago, it was, I think, J.B. Holmes wins in Phoenix. You know, boom. It just adds to the whole explosion of interest.
Oh,
in that.
And then let's not forget
Jason Day,
Paul.
Right on the eve of them announcing, literally on the eve of them announcing the retail availability of the Ghost Spider, you know, 45 straight bogey free holes, just tears it up at the end of the U.S. Open. You had Rory Sabatini winning with the Tour Ghost right after they released that.
Yeah, and Paula Kramer winning last year with
Corza.
The Ghost. With, no, she was
the Daytona.
Daytona,
yeah. Right.
And
then it was who was it who was one right? Was it Justin Rose?
Justin
right out
Rose
of the gates
run,
with the
won
Corza.
Right away with the Corza.
Yeah, so that's how good they are at marketing.
Obviously, there's a relation to the fact that they sponsor a kajillion people.
Sure.
We can all say that. Again, it comes down to you can always win the count by spending a lot of money. You can't put winners in winner circles that way.
Right.
And they have done it incredibly well. Now, another company that picked up a win, their first win, a little bit earlier, was Never Compromise, when David Toms picked up the win. And we've talked about each one of their lines in the past, the Gambler, the Dinero, and now they have another one right on the heels of that coming out that we put some sneak pictures out, and so did you, on the latest line. Why don't you tell people about that?
Yes, it is called the Never Compromise Connoisseur Limited line of putters. And if that doesn't make you want to light up a Cuban, I don't know what does.
Well, we won't talk about the Cubans with, you know, the whole issue of legality. But it always reminds me of an old Seinfeld episode, but that's neither here nor there. This line is intriguing to a lot of people for a lot of reasons. Number one, the Gambler and Dinero lines have been heavily successful when people have tried them out. I mean, people just really, really enjoy the putters. I know we've talked about, you know, the fact that the customization and fitting options are pretty much on point with anything that's available, if not superior. Then you factor in how well they're made, how well they work, how well they feel, and you really have the makings of a solid line. Now they're adding the third, I guess, evolution to make one big family, and they look great so far. I have not rolled one yet. I haven't even picked one up, but in the pictures, they look outstanding.
They sure do, and I think I said that the Robusto, if that's how you pronounce it, this classic heel shafted blade, I think it's literally going to grow wings and fly off the shelves. That's how cool it looks.
It does look that good. And ironically, the guy that I can picture with this is Miguel Angel Jimenez, and obviously he plays a ping putter. But, you know, with the cigar, interesting man in the world, you know, thing that he has going for him. He does play the Strixon golf ball, I might add. But, I could see him rolling this and it just fitting. But I think people are in for a treat when they see this one. The question I have for you is, Never Compromise has completely reinvented themselves in the putter game. Gone are the X-Ray and things like that. And in its place is this high-end, exclusive, limited line of putters that are gorgeous. How do they follow this up in 2012?
That's a very good question. I think they are going to have to do something different than what they've done this year. And that certainly isn't a knock on what they've done this year. I just think that's the nature of the beast anymore. You could look at the Gambler and the Dinero and now the Connoisseur as sort of them releasing three separate lines in 2011. But really, I see this as not three separate lines or families of putters, but really an extended family. There's obviously a thematic thread with the Dinero and the Gambler and the Connoisseur, this sort of lifestyle ambiance that they've surrounded these putters with. The materials and technology and even some of the models are similar or exactly the same. So it's really, I think, one continued release this year. But in the golf business, it becomes now what?
That's true. And in some ways, it's a shame. Do you see them continuing on this limited lifestyle type line of putters, or do you think they go in a different direction? I mean, obviously, you and I have no information on this whatsoever. It's just purely speculation and in some ways maybe wishful thinking. What are your thoughts?
I think they could continue with these cool thematic names and lines, but I think it's going to be different. And in what way, I have no idea. I don't see them rolling back to sort of the whole kind of futuristic X-ray type of putter. I don't see them coming out with something that is a jarring transition. I think they've caught their groove and they're in their groove, so I think they're going to stay in that. That is high-end, exquisite chunks of metal, as you've heard me say before. But what form that takes, different shapes, maybe adding some technologies, who knows? But I would not put it past them to really impress and surprise us in 2012, based on what we've seen this year.
100%. I think we'll see more of an evolution than, you know, something that's completely different. And
I think it'll be an evolution, but maybe more a more pronounced one than we've seen, say, between these three.
Agreed. And I also, this is a request more than anything else. I'd love to see some different finishes. I love
that could be it. Yeah,
I love that the Cleveland Classics line, completely different line, offers the different finishes, and I would love to see that with this. And I think it can really differentiate lines from each other when styles may be similar. But getting back to the connoisseur, I'm very excited about this one. I think it's something that a lot of people. It completes the line well. Gambler, Dinero, Connoisseur. It completes it really well, and there's so many endless choices with the customization they offer.
Yeah, we've talked about that, and it's someone who's passionate about putter fitting. They have really taken it to the next level, and then to combine it with putters of this quality and this style, I mean, it's just, you know, again, superlatives. I've run out of them.
Now, you mentioned something just there, putter fitting, and obviously your book dives into that, but you and I have both taken a test drive, so to speak, of another putter fitting kind of tool. And why don't you tell everybody what that is?
That is the iPing putter app for the iPhone 4 and iPod Touch, fourth generation. So you have to have one of these latest model iPhones or iPod Touches. But basically, it is a very innovative yet intuitive app that enables you to measure basically three things: the tempo of your stroke, the type of your stroke, and I'm forgetting the third one. Tempo. You can help me out here.
Those are the two I have down, but neither here nor there. When I first heard about this, I literally expected that Steve Jobs was going to hop out of the iPhone and stand behind me and watch me putt. It turned out that wasn't the case, and probably a good thing. I don't know what kind of golfer Steve Jobs is, but the thing that sets this apart is the innovation behind it. It's something that's never been done. And I know that when Apple came in, there was the, you know, Apple and Ping partner up, and I know people for the most part just thought it was about a name and people getting paid off for a name. I don't think they ever thought it was going to come to this. And it really is an incredible technology that is, in my opinion, ahead of its time.
Absolutely. It's revolutionary, really, to put this information this readily in the palm of your hand. Now, there are, I think, other technologies and devices out there, but the average golfer's access to them is limited either by the cost or just simply the availability.
Correct.
This puts an incredible set of measurements with immediacy right in the palm of the average golfer's hand. And I forgot about the third measurement. I've now recalled it, and it is face angle.
Yes,
at impact,
face
relative
angle.
To the face angle at address. So you're measuring your tempo, your stroke type, and your face angle. And those three things, you combine them, and then they have called a measure mode where you can stroke five putts, and it will average out those three things over five putts, and you start to see your relative consistency in those three categories. And they're even color-coded so you can see visually how consistent you are. So if you're really consistent, the measurements will have sort of a green hue to them. And then they go to yellow and then red if you're inconsistent in any of those areas.
Now, one of the things that when I first heard about this, it related back to me to the Mizuno Shaft Optimizer and how helpful these devices are, and this even more so because it puts right into the consumer's hands and something they can continue to use. It's not 100% just for fitting. It can be training as well, in my opinion, anyway.
Sure.
the question that as soon as it came to my head, the first thing that popped in my head is, well, if there's a cell phone attached to the putter, isn't that going to change the way people putt with the weight? And what were your thoughts on that?
I did notice that, and I even inquired of them about that. And the one thing going for it is that it attaches via a light plastic cradle. Mm-hmm. And then you insert the device into the cradle, and then you clip the cradle onto the putter shaft. And it attaches near the balance point of the putter. So it's not like you stick this heavy thing at the bottom of the shaft that's just going to throw your swing weight totally out of whack and make the thing feel uncontrollable. It is near that balance point. So it has that going for it. But it does add a considerable amount of weight to the putter. And I do wonder if that can, say, affect your tempo.
Well, you know,
and that's sort of an unresolved issue, I think, with this. But I don't think there's any way around it at this point with the available technologies.
You know, and that's what stuck out to me is when I was trying it, somebody at our course had it, and I'm trying it out, and I'm like, wow, the feedback it gives you is incredible. But there was a definite notice in my head how much more my putter weighed than before I had it on there. Now, whether or not that changes the stroke due to the swing weight or anything, that's to be determined. Now, I remember a few years back, another company had something that clipped on their putters that gave you this kind of information, but not in as simplistic format. And I think it was Adams.
Didn't they? They actually had a putter was built into the head or something.
Yeah, and you could take it out, and it gave you this kind of information. And it didn't go anywhere based on cost, in my opinion. But
yeah, it was really expensive when it came out.
Very. This is something that, with the popularity of the iPhone and the iTouch, can really be in most consumers' hands if they have these devices.
And yeah, the app is free, but the cradle is $30, which I think is a little steep.
That you took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. To me, the cradle's a $10 cradle.
Mm-hmm. I wish they would give a rebate then, maybe back on a if you buy the cradle, then you get a rebate of $10 or $15 on your next purchase of Ping equipment or something like that to soften.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw the price of the cradle. I mean, it's a plastic cradle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but then again, if they charge $10 and then they charge $20 for the app, I think you'd end up with the same thing. I would like to see it a little more cost efficient, but, you know, obviously they've done the research and figure what they can sell. And Ping has a lot of diehard users that jumped on this already and will continue to. And let's face it, like you and I both said, it works.
It does work, and I'll say that, yes, the cradle is expensive, and my concern with that is I like this app enough that I want everyone to try it and experience it, and I do think that investment may be a hurdle, and being passionate about putter fitting and stuff, you know, I want everyone to have access to this because I think it could really help, so I don't want any hurdles, and I think that $30 might be a hurdle. That said, It's less than a box of premium balls,
true.
Right? It's gonna last a lot longer, and ultimately, do more to lower your score than that box of balls. So, if I look at it from that perspective, you know, it may not be a material bargain, but it's definitely a conceptual bargain.
And based on the partnership they have, I don't expect this to come out with any other devices. It's possible, obviously, but obviously, it has a limited crowd based on the fact that it is only available in the latest iPhone and iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, looking at it, I still say if you have the opportunity to try it out, it's worth it.
Yeah, just even measuring your stroke type, and it goes from straight to slide arc to strong arc, can be really good information. I was measuring strong arc, and I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, I was a slide arc person, and I was even surprised by that. Switching gears a little bit, but still kind of about fitting, I want to touch briefly on a subject that we talk about a lot off the air and we've never really addressed on the air, and that is putter grips. And what your thoughts are in general about grip fitting rather than just the types of grips, and everybody has the style and the color they like and so on and so forth, but about fitting in general.
Well, it's like a lot of aspects of putter fitting, it ultimately does come down to the individual, but I think the most important thing for people to know is that the stock grip on your putter is not the only grip out there. And I think for a lot of golfers, that's a revelation. If you look at tennis rackets, they come at the point of purchase with a wide variety of grips. And this, it's sort of self-evident as to why. People's hands are different sizes. So your comfort level and your control with a particular grip size is going to vary widely from person to person. But I think people have just long accepted, well, that this is the grip it came with, without necessarily knowing or thinking that there are a ton of aftermarket grips, and it's inexpensive and easy to change your grip. So that's the first thing I think people need to know about putter grips. Then you get into the actual fitting. Well, it depends on your hands and how you putt and your own putting style. But some people feel like a thinner grip enhances touch and control. Some people feel that a fatter grip takes the small muscles out of the equation. So if you're really wristy, you might try a thicker grip. If you feel like you're lacking touch, you might try a thinner grip. And those are the types of things that I think you need to look at on your putter fitting journey when it comes to grips.
And they definitely have a different feel to them. I mean, the wind style grips and wind grips in general have always been very soft and I call it squishy almost. You know, they come on a lot of different putters. And then the other side is you have the Iomic grips that are very popular because of the different colors they come in. And that's a thinner, harder grip. There's all kinds of different styles, and some are going to reduce vibrations in certain feels, and some are going to accelerate them in some ways. And it's not something that should be overlooked, in my opinion. People picking up a putter and they'll putt a couple with it, and they're like, it just doesn't work for me, when it could be the exact same style as a head that's worked in the past. A lot of times it will be due to the grip in your hands.
Sure. And what we're seeing at the point of purchase is more mid-size grips. So in a way, that's good, but in a way, it kind of confuses the issue, because this putter comes in a mid-size grip while that putter comes in a standard. Well, what if you reversed it? Would that change your impression of each putter or your performance with each putter? And one thing about grips that relative to putter fitting is that it's subjective, but don't underestimate the value and impact of comfort in your hands, because if you're not comfortable in your hands with that grip, then I think that can really undermine your performance. It's subtle, but I think you have to absolutely be comfortable. And if there's something about the grip that just doesn't strike your hands right, then you need to look at that. I love the Iomic grips. I love everything about them, but the corners feel a little sharp to me.
Yeah, and I'm one of the few people, I know they're very popular. The Iomic grips just feel a little too hard to me. Same thing, the sharp edges. But so just in the back of your head, as you're picking up putters and trying them out, and even your own putter, pay closer attention to the grip and let us know what your thoughts are. Now, speaking of letting us know what your thoughts are, as we wrap up the show, we mentioned earlier we have a contest, and we're going to give away one of Sean's books. And all you have to do is leave a comment either under this, where you're seeing it on THP, or on putterzone.com, just with what your thoughts are on the show. Tell us we stink. Tell us we're great. Tell us somewhere in the middle. Talk about the what we've discussed on the show, anything. And we will randomly pick one of the readers that leaves a comment to have a book sent to them, and we will contact you via email and announce that in the comment section on who wins. So I want to thank Sean for giving away that prize.
My pleasure. You know, just leave a way to contact you if you're on putterzone.com. I'll have a post announcing this episode, or on THP, you're instantly accessible. So be thrilled to offer the book Putter Perfection to anyone who comments on this.
And like I've said before, I don't say it because he's on the show with me. I thoroughly enjoyed this book. So if you get a chance, you can pick it up at the THP store or on putterzone.com. And obviously have a chance to win one here. For myself and Sean, another month has passed us by, but we will be back next month with another episode of The Green Side. And we like to say here a little slogan: don't fear the greens, conquer them. Goodbye, everybody.